Okay, we're on. So my name is Kim Jackson, and I am the proud mother of a person who has special capabilities, or as I like to call them, superpowers. And I haven't done a podcast like this in a while because generally I try to just ask people that I'm interviewing just to share about themselves, and I just put it one way. But anytime I have a mom who shares my lifestyle and my journey, I like to hear from them personally. So I'm honored to have you, Lori, to join in my small little podcast group of cadre of people that I value, and I want to share information to the community. So first, for the people who tune in, will you please just share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. My name is Lori Hill, and I am the mother of an adult child now. She's 22 with neurodiversities, I guess is the new term.
Yes.
We actually adopted her out of the foster system when she was 3 and a half, and have kind of grown into diagnoses, looking for resources, going through the school system, the whole gamut. But beyond that, I'm also a writer. I've published a book. I'm a speaker. I sit on a lot of boards, and most of them are specifically to see what we can do as far as activism, regarding neurodiversities and resources.
Amazing. I too sit on a board, but not that many boards for that. I sit on a board called COPA, which is the Council of Parents, Attorneys, and Advocates with Those with Disabilities, broadly. But I understand the work you do, and it's important work. And well, since you brought it up, talk a little bit about how do you believe things have changed in the time frame. You just mentioned, for example, neurodiversity, and I've had speakers, and I think that families and people in general have a difficult time, just like with any culture or organization or entity or human race, when they're trying to figure out what is the best way to approach even getting into the subject and how you talk to people.
Yeah. So I'm actually still embroiled in trying to find the right resources. I will say this to your listeners and your viewers. You don't know what you don't know. So you need to really give yourself a break, although it's very difficult. If you're a mother like me, who is the mama bear
Yes.
and will do everything you can in your power to try to find a resource, and yet you're so frustrated and you need to. Trust me, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I was beyond myself last week because I was dealing with the government. So there's things you don't know until sometimes it feels like it's too late. So I think the biggest thing I would say is you don't know what you don't know. So therefore, ask, ask, ask. Ask everybody you know, ask other parents, contact organizations that you think would be within the realm of that neurodiversity. Call anybody and everybody. And get information because there are things that you have to do for a child who is going to be growing into an adulthood prior to a certain age. Our day and age, here's the thing that's changed. That a diagnosis was a diagnosis, and that was fine. But you are now being told not to label your children. I will tell you, I understand that train of thought, but it's detrimental. If you do not get a label on a diagnosis that fits within where you can receive services, let's say from the government, you will, by the age of 18, you will not receive those services. So it's very important to go ahead and get that label. That doesn't mean you have to say, you have to accept that that's your child. Label is just for services. You need to separate that. So that has been an issue lately that has changed since her being a child to being an adult now, is that nobody wants to put a label on their child. And if you don't, you won't get services.
I had an incredible doctor, Dr. Flora Howie. I don't know if she was around during that time period. And so I'm very grateful that at the time period, I was properly educated, even though it was overwhelming at the time, with her explaining what the DSM-4 was, what the DSM-5 was, which is, for people tuning in, is the diagnostic tool to say whether your child has a disability or a disorder aligned with what the state will recognize. And that education is really challenging for any parent to absorb. What do you say to our parents who may not be able to absorb that for many reasons, for our education level, for time level, for English as a second language, for, you know, lots of social barriers that make it difficult? Mm-hmm. How do you get across that that's not such a bad thing to be labeled, because it's so important to the longevity of the child to teen to adult life?
Yeah, I think it's kind of what I said, which is accept the label for receiving resources only. So you need to separate it. And then on the flip side, when you're with other people and things like that, you don't sit there and, oh, they received a diagnosis of autism. Oh, they received a diagnosis of intellectual learning disability. You don't walk around and talk to people about that. You know, you talk about the things that your child has excelled in, that they are doing. For example, we are working on our daughter getting into supported living, not group home, but supported living. We've gone around telling everybody, woohoo, you know, she's going to have this level of independence now that we weren't sure she was ever going to have. And look at this opportunity. And I can't tell you, of all the people we've talked to, there, none of them even knew existed.
Yes.
So, you know, it's those things. You want to have the positive conversations. You want to share with other mothers, other fathers, other families, other caretakers to say, this is out there. This can help you in your journey. Look forward to this. Start working on this now. Don't worry about the diagnosis. It's there just so you can have resources. But over here could be a bright future.
Yes. Yes. Well, in our last couple of minutes, because I tell you it always goes short, I really just want you to talk about, you know, something that just makes your heart leap about the changes over time, again, of what you think parents should absorb, particularly in the transition space, because that's where I am now. What would you want a parent to know? You talked about labels, accepting the labels to get government services, but what specific services, or if you had a checklist of the top five things that parents should try to walk away with, if nothing else, what would you say?
I don't know, you know, what everybody's going to have a different diagnosis, right? So one thing is, if we're talking about autism specifically, we'll say you've met one person with autism.
Absolutely.
So, right. So every neurodiverse diagnosis is different because every person is different. Mm-hmm. But you know your child. So yeah. I'll start with that. You know your child. And there may be others in your tribe that know your child as well. So what you want to do is you want to, within the government, the resources are basically your Social Security, where you can get Social Security. But what that enables you to do is you can also go onto the waiver program. Now, the waiver program has a wait list. I always recommend they get on there ASAP. I don't care if you're 7 years old, get that child on the waiver program. You may not be able to level up in the crisis category, but once they get to a certain age, all of a sudden you realize you need those services.
Yes.
My daughter is very vulnerable. We all of a sudden, over the last 3 years, realized some things started happening, that because she was coming into adulthood, mm-hmm. that you think with a mainstream, typical thinking child becoming an adult, it's already challenging. Mm-hmm. But with one with neurodiversities, they don't know how to navigate it. So yes. navigating those solutions becomes, it's an overwhelming task.
Absolutely.
So you want to get them on waiver, number one, because you may need to use them. You want to talk about Social Security disability within that realm. You want to look at programming out there that can keep them engaged in the community, happy, healthy, active in the community, and giving back. So whether that's a job, but how do you go about doing that? My daughter's held multiple jobs and she loves working. But then how does that work with the government resources? So there's all these different things. And again, you have to find those people, those tribes, those resources to really just ask. And if you don't know the questions, start doing some research so that you can find those questions to ask.
It looks like we're going to have another conversation, but off the record and possibly for me, but I cannot thank you enough. These conversations are so invaluable to our community. It's like many things, you don't talk about it. And as you said so eloquently, you don't know what you don't know. And mm-hmm. as much research as I do on this topic, I realize every time I talk to a new mother, I learned something that I really didn't know. So thank you, Lori, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So I'm going to...